Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Israel Houghton. I just got to say it. That is my guy. I love him. And for those that are Israel Houghton fans, he has some awesome new music out. So definitely check out YouTube. Oh, my goodness. I was listening to him on yesterday, I just got happy. I just can't help it. I get happy. His music has brought me through a lot of things in my life. And Moving Forward is one of those songs. You know, I had a hard time when my husband passed away. And I can tell you, this song, Moving Forward, got me through, healing. You know, God is a healer. And God will send what you need. I remember I had to have a test done for health reasons. And his song, Friend of God, got me through it. You know, I had to do a stress test. And when you do a stress test, you walk and then you have to run. And all I kept hearing in my spirit was, I am a friend of God. And, it just got me through. I was playing in my ear when I work out. That's one of my workout songs because it keeps me going to know that I am a friend of God and that he knows my name. And today's lesson, the title, is from the Word of God. And that's why I love him, because he comes directly in so many of his songs from the Word of God. And when you read the Word of God will get into your spirit. It will get into your heart. It will get into your mind. And that is what we need in this season, the Word of God getting into our heart, into our spirit, into our mind. And the word that God gave me this morning is coming out of one of our lessons, which is Exodus chapter 33. And the word is, the Lord God knows you by name. He knows my name. Hallelujah. The Lord God, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, knows me by my name. He knows you by name. He knew Moses by name. You know, God knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our feelings. He knows all our absolute secrets. God knows it all, including the number of hairs on your head. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to know that our Father God knows us by name. And he calls us friends. Hallelujah. He calls me friend. He calls you. He knows my name. Hallelujah. So I thank God this morning for his word. And so let us pray today. You know, there are so many out the weather right now in so many states in America. It's Arctic weather. It is cold. Where I am, it is cold. I believe it's like 8 or 9 degrees right now. You know, and it snowed yesterday. And it's supposed to snow again later on this week. You know, we are dealing with some crazy climate right now. It's actually where I live, 10 degrees. And it feels like negative degrees. So I say to you today, bundle up. Bundle up, you know, understand that we are dealing with some crazy weather, but we pray daily that God is watching over his children. You know, yesterday in our Matthew word, it touched my heart. I did. I got all teary-eyed and teared up because it was a scripture that is really dear to my sons. But this scripture that stuck out in my word, in my heart, and hit my soul yesterday was the word that Jesus spoke. And when he said, you know, that those that are going to come, there will be sheep and there will be goats. Some will get in and some will not. The sheep will go in, the goats will not. And this is what it said in the word of God yesterday. And I just want to bring it up one more time before we get into our lesson this morning. It says, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed are my fathers, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me. We have to understand, you don't know who you are entertaining when you are being kind. You don't know who is watching when you are being gracious. You don't know who knows your name. That's why we must every day take every day as a new day. For it is, God is giving you a do-over. If you was hateful yesterday, you need to ask for forgiveness. Repent. Repent is the main thing. And ask for forgiveness. And do better today. Treat someone better today than you did yesterday. Because you don't know who was hungry and was the Savior. Who was needed a drink of water and was the Savior. Who needed clothes. Who needed shelter. Who needed you to just come and visit and pray over them. We don't know what tomorrow holds. All we can do is be gracious and kind on today. Father God in heaven, we come to you today asking you, Lord God, to remove all self and replace us with you, with your Holy Spirit. Lord, do not take your spirit away from us. We know that we can be stiff-necked people just as the children of Israel. We know that we may not always be kind and good and gracious and merciful like you. But Lord, I ask you to take away anything unlike you from us. Help us to be better. Help us to treat each other better. Help us to care for those that are in need. Lord God, help us to love the love. Let us never forget that you loved us first, that it is you that sent us into this world. It is you that knitted us in our mother's womb. It is you that knows us by name and knows every thought, every desire, everything that we need and everything that we want. You know it all, Father God. And we ask you today, forgive us for any sins we may have committed in thought, any sins we may have committed in word, or any sins we may have committed in deed. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. I ask you, Lord God, to fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, you are my heart. You are my soul. You are my redeemer. You are everything on my mind when I wake up, and you are on my mind when I go to sleep. Lord, I ask you, please speak through me today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord God, my heavenly Father, are my strength and my redeemer. And I cannot do this without you. Lord God, give me what to say. Give me what to speak. that will help one of your children. But Lord, I love you more than anything. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Thank you for waking me up this morning with a pep in my step and a praise in my heart. But Lord, I love you. You brought me out, hallelujah, of so many situations. And all I can say is for your love and your grace and your mercy toward me. And thank you, Lord, for knowing my name. In the name of the precious and holy Savior, my friend, Christ Jesus, it is in his name I pray. Amen, 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 amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. And I say it, I can't do this without him. He wakes me up in the morning. He guides me in the word and what to say, what to read. And I am so grateful, you know, that God put it in my heart to do it, this word, one more year. Hallelujah. I thank God for Dr. Stanley. I thank God for In Touch Ministries. And I thank God for this word that we are coming from this year. And it is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version, and I am ecstatic. But this is such a great, 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 great word. And even when we're not together on Saturdays, I can say, you know, we try to get in the on Friday and Sunday, the Saturday word. So on Friday, I will either do an all New Testament word or I will do an all Old Testament word so that we get in Friday and Saturday and Saturday with Sunday. So the New Testament word will be on either Sunday or Friday, and the Old Testament word will be on a Sunday or Friday. So that's how I have divided it up. So we always get every day of the year in every morning. We are together Sunday through Friday. I take Saturdays off. That is my day that God has given me that I can sleep in. Hallelujah. Because even today, which is my day off from my job, I would normally be sleeping in, but I am up early with the Lord. So I am grateful that he has given me this assignment. And I say to you, whatever your assignment is, do your assignment to the best of your ability, because God chose you for a reason. So let's get started in our word this morning. We are coming out of the book of Exodus. And we are coming out of Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 through chapter 34, verse 35. We will also be coming out of Psalms 21, verses 8 through 13. And we'll be coming out of Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And we'll be coming out of Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 25. And the Matthew word, don't just ignore me if I get all teary-eyed, because it's talking about that alabaster box. So it's just today, all I can say, it is just a great word, like it is every day. Every day you can open up God's word. You can start your day with God's word. It is worth it. It makes your day better, I tell you. Ask any listener, you know, if they want to come on at the end of the blog of this show, just ask them, does it not make your day better when you get up with the word? It sure makes my day better. So let's get started. Exodus chapter 33, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, and the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. God said, y'all better get out of my face. I don't, you know, and again, not the word, that's just me. You know, you did something wrong when the Lord said, I don't even want to be around you right now. You know, because we know how our parents were. When we act up, you know, sometimes your parents don't even want to be around you, because if they are around you, they're going to tear you up. And, you know, God said, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. Because understand, as God is writing the commandments on the tablets, as God is putting some information, he's writing it out with his finger and sending it down the mountain with Moses. But because Moses was gone 40 days and 40 nights, the folks thought, well, I don't know. We don't know where he is. And then Aaron just voluntarily says, well, give me all your gold. Give me all your gold. And then he goes in and he makes a calf of gold. And they get down and they start worshiping the calf like the calf is what brought them out of Egypt. Like the calf is what had brought the plague. Like the calf is God. And it's like, and we're going to let it go before us. And God was about ready to tear them up. They didn't know. They was, as you put that finger together, they was this close to being destroyed. But Moses, again, this man was the most humble man. He went up at prayer warrior intercessor. Moses was the chief prayer warrior intercessor because he was praying for those folks because they know they was wrong. And what he do? He took that doggone golden calf, ground it down, and made them drink it. Come on now. God don't play, and Moses didn't either. Let's keep it going. Verse number 4. And when the people heard this bad news, they moaned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord has said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb, which is still Mount Sinai. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle Meeting. And it came to pass, everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that a pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. And y'all know I got a Joshua crush. Anyway, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name. And you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who were upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Woo! I want God to say that to me. Bridget, you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Hallelujah. He knows me by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cliff of the rock and will cover you with my hand. While I, then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Woe, my face shall not be seen. That's the word of God. And I have a few life lessons and a life example. And again, the life lessons and life example are part of the study Bible, and they come from Dr. Stanley. So this is what the word of God says, and this is what Dr. Stanley says, in intimacy through obedience. You know, if you want to write this down, this is coming out of verses 7 through 11, and it's intimacy through obedience. Moses was one of the few people known for his intimacy with God. To knowing God was his extraordinary obedience. Moses risked everything to follow God's commands. He left the safe life of the Midianite farmer to face the dangers of freeing the people of Israel. Yet Moses trusted God and was able to witness his almighty hand in action. As Moses obeyed God's will, he beheld the 10 plagues, the parted sea, escape from Egypt, manna from heaven, water from a stone, and God's presence in the tabernacle. Through every act, he knew God more intimately. Exodus 33 and 11 teaches that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Through his obedience, Moses learned to trust the heart of the Creator. He learned to talk to God as a friend because he saw God in a way you ever commit to seeing him. You know, God lets us know, and he lets us know who he is through our prayers. And this is another thing that Dr. Stanley says, when you obey God, he is able to reveal himself to you in a more personal way. He is able to prepare you to know him and experience deep intimacy with him. Are you willing to endure patiently all things that your Lord would do with you? Will you let him be your friend? Or will you be his friend? Hallelujah. I am a friend of God. Hallelujah. Again, I thank Israel. Who am I that I, who am I? I am God's daughter, and I love my Father. You know, we got to love our Father God just like he loves us, because he is our absolute. And I love this word. He says, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you. That's what Moses said. That should be all of our lament. That should be everything we say to God. If I have found grace in your sight, show me how. Show me now your way that I may know you. We want to know God. We want to know him intimately. We want to know who he is, and we want to know that he knows us. He knows us. God knows all my stuff. And I can tell you myself, I'm straight. I'm honest. I can be messy, but God knows me. And he sees past my mess to my heart. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful to be his daughter. If I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you. As children of God, we have received the Lord's unmerited, unending favor. Hallelujah. But as we get to know him better through such things as prayer, fasting and studying his word, y'all. What we doing right now, studying his word. He extends us even more favor. Nothing comforts and empowers us more than knowing that God promises to grant our requests and that he knows each of us personally and by name. Hallelujah. I told y'all it was a great word today. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone. Remember, he's got to go back and do it all over again because he broke the tablets when he came down the mountain and saw them having a party. They was partying over here and partying over there. Hallelujah. They was having a good time. And so the stones broke. He dropped them when he went off on the children of Israel and that golden calf that his brother made. Moses wasn't playing. Because you got to remember, he had just come out of the presence of God. So you know he was filled up with the Holy Spirit. He was filled from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Moses was probably glowing. And you know he had the wrath of God in him when he came down that mountain, when he saw all that mess they was doing, the stiff-necked folks. So let's keep going. And it's so he's now to the mountain to get God's finger, God's writing on the tablet. So let's go back to our words. And it said, and the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first one, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablet, which you broke. Just a reminder. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flock nor herd feed before that mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone. Like that, Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste, bowed his head toward the earth, and worshiped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. But it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Havites, and the Jebusites. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images. For you shall worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods, and make sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. You shall make no molded god for yourself. I'm sure God was thinking about that doggone calf. The feast of unleavened bread you shall keep 7 days. You shall eat unleavened bread as I commanded you in the appointed time of the month of Abib. In the month of Abib, you came out from Egypt. And we know that's March, in the March, beginning of April. That all that opened the womb are mine, and every male firstborn among your livestock, whether ox or sheep. But the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem him, then you shall break his neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and harvest you shall rest. And you shall observe the feast of weeks of the first fruit of wheat harvest, and the feast of intergathering at the year's end. In a year, all your men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God. 3 times in the year, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice spice with leaven, nor shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterwards, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out, and he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Whew, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And life lessons from chapter 34 of the book of Exodus. And it says, I have one more actually from chapter 33. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God consistently reveals himself as a God of grace and compassion, something that greatly comforts us during difficult times or when we sin or make errors in judgment. Is a promise we can always count on. And I'm going to read that again. God consistently reveals himself as a God of grace and compassion. And I can tell you that is so true. Something that greatly comforts us during difficult times or when we sin or make errors in judgment. It's a promise we can always count on. I thank God for his grace, and I thank him for giving me. And I thank him for forgiving us when we sin and fall short of his grace and glory. Exodus 34:9, Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity. Only by grace has anyone ever been able to establish, develop, and enjoy an intimate relationship with the God of glory. Moses and his people could not earn God's favor, and we cannot either. All of our efforts will always fall short. Thankfully, we don't have to work for God's acceptance. He gives us his love freely. And we're going to go over real quick to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Something else. Y'all know we can. But he loves us even in our foolishness. He loves us even in our mess. He loves us even when we can be something else. And all we can do is say thank you. Thank you, God, for forgiving us. Thank you, God, for loving us. And sometimes he loves us even when we don't love ourselves. Because you know how we can get it. You know, and I love the title. It says, by grace through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not a work. Anyone should boast. That's a highlightable. Both those verses are highlightable. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are blessed by God. And you know how I am about context. If we go up to verse number 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Jesus, what a word. That is a great word, y'all. We are so blessed beyond description to be children of God, to be saved, to be set free, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are blessed beyond measure. And the second life lesson, you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. God made us for a relationship with himself, and he will never stand idly by while a rival tries to replace him in our hearts. Giving our hearts to anyone else arouses his jealousy, a dangerous proposition. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 22. And it says a little bit. And we'll go to verse number 18. And it says, observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what it offers is idol. Two idols is anything. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? We are not. Be careful, family. Don't get yourself caught up in worshiping anything but God. God is a jealous God. Psalms chapter 21, verse 8 through 13. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. For they intend evil against you. They devise a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore you will make them turn their back. Psalms 21, life lesson. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. A classic sermon of many years ago was titled, Payday Someday. We can come to God in faith and receive his pardon and grace, or we can reject his offer of life and become his enemy. Those are the options. We'll make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. David knew how to speak. Proverbs 8:1-5, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, all the entrances of the doors, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. And you fools, be of an understanding. The Lord God, through his word, is speaking to us today. The question is, are we listening? Matthew 26, verses 1 through 25. And I'm just going to tell you now, get out your little hanky, because if I get teary-eyed, just know that it's because this word touches my heart. Because, you know, I love when CeCe sings this, you don't know. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. Nobody knows the cost of our oil. They don't know the cost of, they don't know our pain. They don't know what we go through. Nobody knows you but God. And I can only say I thank him. I thank him because he brought me through. Hallelujah. And to worship at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. And this is the word from Matthew. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days it is the Passover and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Scribes and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And when Jesus was in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you will have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. But in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. As surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver, so that from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. First day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, he who dips his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betrayed him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said to him, you have said it. You have said it. Life lesson from this word is wherever this gospel is preached, and that's Matthew 26 and 13, what this woman has done will always be told as a memorial to her. The woman could not have known that what she did that day would be more memorialized in God's word and distributed to the ends of the earth. God loves to reward faithful devotion to him. Wow, that's our word for today. That's our word for today. And for those that are just joining us who came in late, if you want to go back and read the word we read today on February the 11th, Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 through chapter 34, verse 35. We also read Psalms 21, verses 8 through 13. We read Proverbs 8, 1 through 5, and Matthew 26, 1 through 25. Morning, if there's anyone that would like to speak that has a word from God from this lesson, please dial 213-943-3597, and your line will be open. And remember our title today, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, knows you by name. And before we get out of here this morning, I have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And a word, as always, is right on point. Good morning. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Have a thankful Thursday, family. If there's anyone that would like to speak, please push the number 1. On your phone, and your line will be open. We don't have anyone pushing the 1 or calling in this morning. And so I just thank each and every one of you for listening in today, keeping God first in everything that you do, and know that he knows your name. He knows everything about you, and he is gracious. He is merciful. And I say that our Lord God is loving and kind. He gave us his son. He loved us, that much that he gave us his son, his only begotten son. So in this month of love, just remember, put in your memory arsenal that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his only begotten son, that whomsoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I pray everlasting life over you and yours. Be blessed, family, and know that we are all children of the Most High God, and he loves us. That's all I got this morning. And as we depart from each other, we say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and the holy name of Christ Jesus, I thank God for each of you. Please join me tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we study the Word of God and give God honor, glory, and praise, for he deserves it. He deserves every part of our being. And above all, he deserves your love. It is, as we say, a moving forward, a wrap. But we are willing, ready, available, and presently praying for each and every one of you. Be blessed and have a great day. It's about.